Welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook. This podcast is brought to you in association with Game Refinery. Join us as we uncover the latest trends in mobile game design.
Hello, and welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook podcast. I'm your host, John Jordan. This is the podcast that provides insights into what makes a great mobile game and all the latest trends from the $50 billion mobile games industry. Now, in this episode, Game Refinery has partnered with Facebook Gaming and Facebook IQ, and they've come up with a report called Genre and Great Games, Understanding Audiences and Designing Better Mobile Games. And this report provides valuable genre-level insight across mobile games in the US, UK, South Korean, and Japanese markets. Focuses on four different genres, strategy, RPG, puzzle, and hyper-casual. And for those genres, it delves deep into four key topics, which is genre fulfillment, community, monetization, and advertising preferences. It's a fantastic report. A lot of stuff in there, too much for one single podcast. So in today's episode, we're taking a deep dive into one of the most popular and certainly one of the most lucrative genres, and that's role-playing games. As ever, bringing his extensive experience into play is Game Refinery Chief Analyst Joel Junkanen. How's it going, Joel?
Hi, John. I'm great. How are you?
Are you ready to go deep into RPGs?
Yes, ready to go.
Good. And our guest this week is Dion Moe from Facebook. So Dion has led the gaming marketing team for Facebook in the APAC region for the past 2 years, driving its B2B marketing strategy as well as global gaming marketing initiatives for Facebook, including this report. Hello, Dion.
Hey, John. Hi, thanks for having me on board.
Yes, glad to have you on board. So you two are our experts for today's podcast going into RPG. So, Joel, maybe can you provide us with a kind of overview, you know, what's going on generally in the genre of RPGs?
Yeah, sure. RPG, of course, is one of the most popular mid-core genres in mobile, and it can be, of course, divided into several sub-genres like turn-based RPG, action RPG, MMORPG, puzzle RPG, idle RPG. So a lot of different kind of games to be enjoyed, but of course, all of these share the same principles of course, revolving around character development and collection, and some level of story elements, item crafting and collection, and treasure hunting and stuff like that. Recently, if we look at, for example, the Western markets, we can see that there are a couple of older titles that have been really, really popular, like Summoner's War in turn-based RPG, and then a couple of a bit newer ones like Marvel Strike Force, and then really recently, really successful Seven Deadly Sins. So a lot of stuff going on in the genre, of course. And then if you think about features and the trends in RPG, those games have always been revolving around kind of collection and progression mechanics, social elements like guild mechanics, playing together with your friends. But now more than ever, this kind of event-related co-ops like raids and playing together with your guild mates against other guilds like guild wars, they are really kind of trending. It can be said that there are not too many successful RPG titles in that don't have any of these kind of deeper social elements or these kind of live event, live ops loops.
Mm, yeah. No, it's interesting because I think for a good RPG, it has to have, you know, such a lot of content and you know, it's getting players so engrossed in these characters that they're taking from obviously level one and then whatever the kind of level cap is. But yeah, you know, they're spending all this time, you know, and it seems like, you know, the changes that happen on a day-to-day basis are kind of minuscule and tiny, and maybe you leveled up your sword from level one to level two, not even the character, you know, but then these kind of loops, because they last for so long, it's kind of fascinating how game designers can use that kind of motivation of the player and build all these incredible kind of structures around it. So Dion, you're coming from the APAC region, and there's particular kind of interest, I guess, in how the difference between kind of Western and Asian RPGs. How do you see that?
Oh, yeah. So it's quite... The interesting thing is that, you know, gaming is such a global commodity, right? And you get to see, like, top games that really perform well span across similar markets, right? You get similar games across similar markets, but naturally there are nuances. I think one of the interesting things that we've seen for RPG, for example, is in terms of the emotional tone that they look for when they want to decide a new game to try out. In the US, things like adrenaline and it being challenging is, you know, the emotional tone that they typically look for. Like, okay, is that what the game conveys? But in APAC, we've seen in some markets, like Japan, actually having a more humorous tone in the way the game is conveyed is actually more attractive. Right, and that's, I think, one of the interesting things to take note about. And also depending on the subgenre of RPGs that you're looking into, for APAC or, you know, Japan specifically, in some of the subgenres RPG, like MMORPG, etc., players are actually, you know, they want to hear more from developers on behind the scenes, like how was the game made, you know, what is done. And then naturally in the US, you get more like, you know, just wanting to communicate with developers on understanding more about, you know, the in-app events. So you kind of see very different preferences from both sides of the regions.
Mm-hmm. In terms of maybe thinking of, because we're going to kind of focus on, think about kind of the players, I guess, for a bit. What's the typical RPG kind of player? Who is it? Does everyone play RPGs, or is it kind of focused on specific sort of a kind of genre age breakdown?
Yeah, sure. So based on our insights, we've noticed that RPG players across the four markets tend to be the majority are mainly male, though females actually make up quite a surprisingly close number than, you know, what people would expect. You know, more than 65% are typically between the ages of 18 and 44, so you get a quite a good range as well. The other thing that's interesting is RPG players, on average, play more games than the typical mobile game player. So they're more likely to experiment and try new games. Their average session also lasts longer. Most majority of them actually say that they play for more than half an hour, 30 minutes every day. And I think they're also more likely to play online multiplayer mode. So they are, in a sense, you know, more likely to play with other people in their games. And I think that's probably a pretty good summary of it.
Okay, cool. So, Dion, I guess we all kind of assume that RPGs are one of the most lucrative sectors in mobile games. Do we have any data around whether people who play RPGs are more likely to spend money on in-app purchases at all? How does that compare to other genres?
That's a good question. It's actually quite interesting. I can't say for sure if they are more willing to spend money in-game. It depends on who you're comparing against, right? I think if you're comparing against the general gaming population, then yes, they are more likely to, I would say, make an in-app purchase, right? And I think what's interesting is that even though for an RPG genre, IAPs, or what we call in-app purchases, are more common, right? With 90% of... Let me rephrase that. Even though IAPs are more common in the genre, what we've noticed through this research is that RPG players are also open to in-app ads as a form of monetization, right? So they're willing to actually watch ads in-game. 90% of players in Japan and 70% of players in US say they're okay with seeing in-app ads. I think while this is interesting, it's important to note that you need to cater for their preferences of watching ads in-game. And generally, RPG players prefer longer, less frequent ad breaks compared to shorter, more frequent ones. So,
okay, so Joel, player motivations was a big part of this report. So what are the key things that designers who are making RPGs, what are they doing to ensure that they kind of retain their players and keep them sticking around for as long as possible?
Yeah, totally. I think you put it really well, Dion, we kind of have a lot of interesting data there, and I based on our findings and my own experience playing RPG games, that kind of fits the picture, because RPG players, if you think about the motivations and the why they, for example, what they look for in the game, it's a lot about kind of being dazzled by something new or unique, finding something, collecting character, whether or not it's a turn-based RPG where you collect characters, your favorite characters, or different versions of your favorite characters, or in an MMORPG, you want to find the best possible gear. So there's a lot of kind of collection and finding an improvement, improving your skills also. But then if you think about mobile games in general, where the social elements, of course, are, and community elements are really important, RPG games are no exception, because a lot of the RPG gamers and the games themselves have a high emphasis on community building, like having guild mechanics, having co-ops, whether or not they are kind of event related or PvP or then PvE, meaning versus kind of monsters. But there's a lot of that also. So RPG players also are kind of tend to like to network with other people, help each other, achieve something together. So and that is, I think that's also kind of universal characteristics if you think about today's gamers in general, because this is a trend that we can see also in casual games, that people want to feel connected, so to speak.
Right, so we've spoken about a lot of different things here, but kind of what are the major trends that we're seeing that really the most successful RPGs are implementing, particularly ones that kind of maybe stand out from kind of trends that we're seeing in other genres? And how much crossover actually is there between kind of trends across mobile games and RPGs?
That's a really good question. I would say that some of the kind of higher level trends are kind of universal in mobile games. Like I mentioned, the kind of impressive importance in community building or social elements. Also, like live event loops and live ops. That is, of course, something that's trending across all games. But then, if you go specifically to RPG games and look, like, for example, community elements. All of the RPG games in mobile for years have had guild mechanics and all things kind of around communities. And PvP, of course, in arenas and then whatever. But it seems that nowadays, how the best performing RPGs are differentiating from the other RPGs are these so-called key features that we mentioned in the report as well. So features that are much more common and utilized by the top grossing or top performing RPG games versus the other ones. And there you can, when you go deeper to those features, like in community features, you can see that there is a lot more emphasis on different kind of co-op modes, whether or not they are co-op synchronous or asynchronous raids or PVEs or guild wars, or they can be also like development efforts that you, inside your guild, you have this communal research efforts, for example, like clan perks that give boost to everybody and everybody contributes, or do you have these tasks or quests that everybody in the guild can kind of make effort towards, and then when we complete the quest, everybody gets reward. So a lot of doing things together is highly kind of trending inside RPG. And then if you go to the competition side, like the PvP, player versus player gaming, which is a big part of RPGs, has always been in mobile. How it now is evolving in the top games is that there are more and more different modes, like PvP modes, coming to these games. For example, it's a kind of a cookie cutter RPG has this asynchronous arena possibility where you go to arena, then you are matched against players with similar power level, and those players are kind of controlled by the AI. But nowadays, they are got more different kinds of modes that you can participate in different player levels. So when you have played the game more and more, you don't get bored with that one PvP mode. You have this other PvP modes like World Arena and Summoner's War, which is kind of esports of its own. So kind of building more depth to these social elements, I would say that is the thing that nowadays the top RPGs are doing the most.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of Dion, when we're looking in the report, you did kind of work around what motivates people who are playing RPGs. So can you kind of break out some numbers there about exactly what are the things that are attracting them?
Yep, sure. So I think when you think of the RPG, right, I mean, like, it's a role-playing game, and you try to rank, like, what matters to players. What do they look for in a game, right? What we've noticed that across the board you see is, a simple top three would be things like character immersion, right? Feeling accomplished and being dazzled, right, by uniqueness, right? Are key gaming motivations for RPG players. But I think similarly in the report, we also asked them, we say, okay, if these are the motivations or the expectations, how well do the, you know, does the average RPG genre meet these expectations? And we noticed that in some cases, they meet them quite well, but more often, they don't actually meet them across all the markets. So for example, 56% of RPG players in the US say that they play games to immerse themselves into another character of the world. Right, but when we survey them, they say, but you know, even though 56% expect this, only 47% feel that current RPG mobile games deliver on this. So you do notice this this kind of discrepancy that happens, and actually, as you move across the market, you start to notice this a bit more. Right, I think in the UK, it's brought up that RPG players actually expect to be able to, play games to connect with other players they know. But you know, the reality is that not all RPG games are able to deliver on this. Which is why I think Joel spoke about these features that the community that's important, right? And a lot of it also is along the lines of how well do they build in features that allow people to feel that they are accomplishing something through in-game progressions, right? Through live events, special event currency, right? Characters, etc.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess it's kind of interesting because when I kind of think about, maybe it's just me, when I think about kind of mobile RPGs, I kind of still think more about kind of single player kind of things, because that's where the focus is, the player kind of building up these characters and spending a lot of time kind of taking them through, grinding through all these dungeons or whatever the kind of setup is. And I guess it's just historically, that's where RPGs kind of started out from on mobile. And then over time, as the structures have got bigger, then developers have obviously kind of taken these retention features and these monetization features that have from other mobile games or other kind of non-mobile, the PC and console, and it's kind of started to layer on. So actually with RPGs now, I guess with every genre, it goes through kind of phases of starting off simple and then gets more and more complicated. But RPGs, to me, seem to be something that it's probably one of the more complex genres now for all these things added on. I will say, maybe I'm not very good at these games, but normally when I start playing an RPG and try to get into a guild, I normally get kicked out fairly quickly because I'm just not playing like all the time. I've got a job, so I can't.
Yeah, that's a bit disheartening. Yeah, that's something that happens to me, and I'm playing games for my job basically. But it's would say I totally agree. If I think like myself as a gamer and an RPG, what it means to me in the PC console world, yes, there's a lot of like Elder Scrolls, for example, Oblivion, Skyrim, and Morrowind. Of course, they're all single player emphasis, and there's a lot of the story that kind of is in the key emphasis of the whole experience. If you think about console, like Final Fantasy games, of course, there's a lot of story elements, and of course, the mobile RPGs also. They have to, and they try to do it to some extent. But that, like you said, the mobile environment is really different. And if you think about the monetization, you have to have these retention elements, and you have to have this all kind of have. There are a lot of things that take the place away from the story elements and kind of deeper narratives. If you truly want to make a game that makes money. Per se, that's kind of a rough way to put it. So that might be one reason why mobile RPGs are kind of at least the majority of those are putting the story a bit behind, kind of on the backstage, and then focusing more on the player experience and the kind of retention. And there, of course, social elements are they are really really powerful, and live events as well, and then. Tying those two together, and if you think about who you are monetizing in the games, they're usually the whales, the players who have been playing for a long time, they are engaged with the game, they have sacrificed a lot of their time and maybe money to get the favorite characters, they are in the skills that we get kicked out of for the players who play all the time, and they get their kind of kind of adrenaline rush by and their kind of sense of accomplishment by being the king or kings of the hills in Guild Wars, for example. So it's even though it's the same genre in mobile, and at least when you go to kind of a deeper level in those games, it shifts a bit their focus on these games.
That's good. Yeah, you brought up monetization there, so maybe that's something we should kind of talk about. And I guess it is interesting that. Because you are very focused on kind of, you know, a set of characters and the things you can do to them and the kind of progression you have some really nice kind of monetization kind of hooks that you can, I guess, kind of developers are kind of hooking into because people are spending a lot of time and they're very focused on these characters and what they look like and what they've got. And they really understand the value of there's a new thing that there's a new kind of kind of gear or there's I want to really kind of level through this quickly to level up to because something's cool can happen to this character when they get to a certain point and all this sort of stuff. So can we Dion, have you got any data around kind of the different levels of monetization? Because I know we roughly we think a very small percentage of most mobile gamers as a whole ever spend their money on in-app purchases. Do we have any data around what is there a percentage of RPG players who spend money?
Yep. I think what I can talk about instead, I think might be insightful is what do they choose to buy, right? I mean, not specifically the item, but what the elements, right? Like randomness versus like, the ability to, I don't want to use it, but pay to win, for example, right? So when you look at it across the US, right, UK, South Korea, and Japan, naturally, the idea of buying something that's random, right, with a random element, example, loot boxes, it's not low, but it's not the significant majority, right? So I think the majority is able to know what they're buying and it's not random about it. The only, I think, interesting example is in Japan, where I actually expected more loot boxes to come up as an example, but surprisingly, it's not actually even higher than the other regions, right? So that's one thing that was surprising looking at this. I think the other thing is how willing are you to buy something that includes items that help you to win, right? And again, this was actually, I think maybe because RPG, you're right, it's hard, right? You have to grind against, like, you know, who knows, a really tough AI bot or the level. The more than the majority actually said across most markets that, yeah, you know, they don't mind buying in-game purchases that actually includes items that help you to win, right? Versus something that doesn't help you to win, maybe it's more aesthetic in nature. So I think that, to me, was quite interesting to take note of. I already covered the ad preferences and the shift to IAA, which to me was also quite unique in itself. Yep.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense when you're when you know, I mean, that kind of play pay to win is kind of an interesting mechanic, and we could do a whole podcast on that and the regional variations therein. But if you just take it more that you're kind of leveling up your characters or your kind of squad or your character set, then you understand that in a lot of these RPGs there's a very clear kind of time is money scenario. So once you've been playing these games for a bit, you know how long it takes to gain what you need to level up with the XP or whatever. If you're leveling up gear, you might need some kind of resources to do that. So I think actually one of the reasons that RPGs, you know, in some ways it makes it clearer. It's kind of, if you want to just play the game and grind and you know, if you keep playing, you know, eventually you'll get there, sort of thing, you know, unless the developer suddenly increases the character level cap. Or you can pay to get there. And I think that actually the more I find, which I tend to play actually kind of turn-based RPGs, and the more you play them, the more you kind of understand what the financial kind of balance is. If I, you know, is this actually worth $10 of my time, sort of thing? And I think that's, and maybe it's because I tend to play those games a little bit more than other games. I think it becomes quite clear then, or clearer in my head at least. So I don't know if that's something that is applicable to all mobile games, but probably it's harder to do in some genres than others. But if you can make it very clear, and in a sense that is pay to win, because I'm, as you say, I'm winning because I'm gonna be able to kind of beat that level 15 boss that I've been struggling to beat kind of for a week. So. I guess that's why RPGs do generally monetize. I was looking at the report, and it is really interesting if you look at it from a market point of view, like a country point of view. I think it was in Japan that 50% of all mobile revenue, game revenue, comes from RPGs.
Yeah, that's huge in Japan. Like, if you think about RPGs, it's by far the biggest genre in Japan. And then if you go to subgenres, the turn-based RPGs is the dominant one. So there are these interesting kind of country variations. You can go to South Korea and there's also a lot of RPGs, but their kind of mixture of different subgenres is a bit different. Of course, action RPGs and MMOs are kind of more popular, but in my eyes, you mentioned that when you play a game a bit longer, like you said, that you play like turn-based RPG a bit more, then you tend to kind of see and realize the value of certain, let's say, bundle offers, for example. You understand clearly that, okay, this is where this is what I want to buy or purchase. And this is interesting because when you look at this, kind of more successful RPGs, and when they introduce something new, like they try to monetize something new, there is a lot of work they have to do in terms of price points and balancing and the value that they're offering to the players, because the pro players or the more veteran players like yourself, for example, they understand that what is the value and the cost of something, and there have been a couple of examples in some RPG games when they have, for instance, tried to introduce new like decorational like vanity items or some like equipment items or new mechanics, and there's been a huge backlash from the audience because they immediately understand that there's no need for me to purchase this because I get more value by doing this and this and this and this. But for the newer players, this is not obvious because they don't understand the kind of the economy of the game that well. And that is something I think in RPG games, but also in strategy games, all of these mid-core games that have that you tend to play months and months to an end. There's a big difference whether or not you are a newcomer or played for a couple of months, or if you're a veteran player. And that's also tend to kind of influence how these games monetize.
Yeah, it's a good point there that I think again something for all mobile games, but particularly for these what become very complex games is that they start off fairly simple. They start to add features over time, and then that's fine for the players who've been playing since the game launched. But then for new players, then it can become quite difficult to understand what on earth is going on. You've got all these different arenas, and just and again, that's kind of I guess maybe that's the why there's always opportunity for new games to launch into a space. One thing I was going to say, and this is maybe because I've said I play a lot of RPGs. Do we think that people who aren't making RPGs could learn some lessons about, you know, how to kind of certainly monetize, how to kind of start to kind of build community, and certainly something we've not mentioned very much, kind of live events. It seems to be that a lot of the RPGs have been very good at building these kind of live events, which are, you know, events where specific things happen for a certain period of time only. And then, so if you're not playing the live event for this week, you know, it's not going to happen again. Do you think that they've been a bit underrated generally by mobile game designers?
Yeah. A couple of years back, I would say that would be the case. But I think other genres have learned a lot from RPG and all the mid-core genres. What I mean by this is that if you think about, like you mentioned, live events, or then if you talk about guild mechanics and social mechanics, what we have seen in Game Refinery is that there's a huge trend in casual space now at the moment. Also, that more and more casual games are starting to introduce, for example, guild mechanics. Like you can see Match 3 games, Playrix's Match 3 games, all of them almost have guild mechanics. They have season passes or battle pass kind of passes, battle pass, similar kind of mechanics to those. And then they also have utilized loot boxes and gacha mechanics, which are traditionally more used by RPGs. So yes, there is a lot of things that other developers can learn from RPG games. And the great thing, I think, in mobile games in general is that there are a lot of these mechanics that can be used in all genres, basically, like, for instance, guild mechanics. But in your own genre, you just have to learn how to fit that mechanic into the game, so that it doesn't kind of cause any balance issues or kind of drive your players away. But if you think about live ops, live op loops, like currency, live event currencies, exclusive live event characters or benefits that can be used in other genres as well to boost the kind of the monetization during live events and boost the efficiency of live events. And then if you think of retention mechanics, just go and play any of those top crossing, let's say US top crossing turn-based RPGs, and you see how important having a great kind of a social element framework and all these co-ops and what they can do to your retention. Of course, kind of assuming that the game that you're making is good by itself, so the core game is good. So there are a lot of things, but this, of course, can be said across almost any genre. So all of these mobile games could learn from each other feature-wise.
Mm-hmm. Dion, you kind of mentioned earlier a little bit about the kind of ads and that people playing RPGs liked kind of longer ads less frequently. Do we have any kind of data around what sort of ads they like? Because it kind of strikes me most RPGs are generally in some sort of kind of fantasy type setting. I guess there probably are some in contemporary settings, but generally it seems to be kind of fantasy settings. And I kind of wonder how does the type of ad kind of matter? So if you're advertising a soft drink, you know, a real world soft drink or real world kind of items, do we have any kind of thoughts about whether those kind of ads work well or does it work better if it's other RPGs being advertised?
So I think, right, this is not your problem. I'm just going to speak from my point of view as a gamer, right? I think normally gamers, and you take RPG as a genre, which is definitely not a casual genre, right? I think there's a lot of genuineness that players look for. Like, you know, is this something I can relate to in an ad? So naturally, as gamers, I would like to see ads about other games that I would enjoy, right? Not necessarily doesn't mean that the soft drink is bad, but that's just my own preference. But I think when you talk about, let's say, if in general, like the ads that would attract an RPG player. And I think we're speaking about this like a new game, right? You're launching a new game, you're trying to see what ad makes sense. There's two parts of the ad that we sort of look at. One is, which I covered earlier a bit, was the emotional tone, right? So what is the emotional tone of the ad? And like I said, I think there's nuances between, you know, I think, East and West. In the US and UK, you typically see, like, you know, the tone is more challenging and adrenaline pumping, right? That's typically comes up. But I think when you move towards, like, the East, like Japan, right, depending on the one you're looking at, the more more humorous or funny tone comes up instead of, you know, it being challenging, which I spoke about. But the other thing I think that's interesting is the ad detail. What do you choose to feature in the ad, right? So I don't have that soft drink, you know, insight for you, but I think when you talk about games, RPG players typically like it when you showcase the main gameplay or the progression of characters and the story, right? And I think one very interesting thing that came out from the Japan side was they seem to have a preference for showcasing the game's art style, right? So how close the art style in the game to what the ad is showing is actually something that they really look or have preference for in Japan. But yeah, that's probably the insight I can give on this part.
Great, thank you very much. So I think we're kind of coming to the end of our time talking about RPGs. So maybe good for me to take a conclusion to what we've been saying. I think if people who are listening to the podcast haven't been playing RPGs, haven't had a lot of experience, it's definitely good to dive into the deep end and start downloading some of these games, particularly ones that come from different territories from where you live, because I think it's quite can be quite eye-opening how the different regional variations work. But I think kind of what we've been seeing, what we see certainly from the report is why people play RPGs is really to get immersed into these characters and really get very focused on progression through that. And that kind of feeds in to a fairly high level of monetization because players can they're very focused on progression and kind of getting through to higher levels, whether that's in terms of the environment or against other players, and they can, you know, make see in their minds the value of that. Something I guess that's come kind of more recently to RPGs, but now very strong, is this kind of idea of communities and guilds and alliances, and you have to be really committed to the guild and alliance if you want to stay in there and not get kicked out. And then maybe surprising to some people that the that although these are games that are highly monetized, there's also a strong kind of trend to have ads in there as well. And I think in general still. Mobile game developers are not necessarily thinking as deeply as they could do about their ad strategy, because it's very powerful to allow people to gain access to certainly kind of currencies and kind of rare items in the game. So that is the overview for RPGs. Should say thank you very much to Joel and Dion for your insight today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thanks to you listeners. So the report is out now. We will have links to that in the show notes. So definitely go and download that. It is really in depth into these four different mobile game genres. So 90 pages of really fascinating kind of data and facts about that. And obviously, thank you for listening to the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook on your platform of choice. We are releasing a new podcast every month. And in fact, I know we have another one, the next one coming, I'm really looking forward to. So that's going to be a really great one as well, on a totally different subject to what we've been talking about. So we're really kind of covering all bases. But thank you very much for listening, and come back next time.